Cape Talk, Pippa's Planet.
Now, a lot of our conversations around plastic pollution have at some point strayed into or mentioned the concept of an eco brick. And I know a number of you are actually already making them, my household included. Today, though, I did promise to give you a whole segment around this concept. We're going to have a chance to talk in depth, not only about how you make an eco brick, but more importantly, why they are so useful and what can be done with them. Looking forward to hearing from some of you on 021-446-0567 in the studio. Studio with us is Ian Domiser of the Eco Brick Exchange. Ian, so great, so glad we've managed to finally get this segment together after months of trying since I heard you speak at Pecha Kucha quite a long time ago. Thanks for popping in.
Thanks so much for having me.
Let's start with Eco Brick Exchange. What are you guys all about?
So the Eco Brick Exchange is a non-profit company that does skills development trainings to equip people with the skills in order to upcycle waste into structures of value, so that they can then generate an income for their family.
Okay.
But we have started focusing on preschools, construction. As an architect, I was curious to find ways to get the alternative building technology approvable in the South African context. And so it took 32 months to get our first school approved in Port Elizabeth.
Yeah.
And since then, there's been so much demand for this alternative construction. So that's been given the demand for our skills development programs.
Okay, so 32 months to get approval. What was the hindrance? Was there just skepticism about whether this product was strong enough to build a building with?
Look, we didn't set a small project for our first one. It was a double-story building, and because it was such a small site, it was literally an RDP house size site, we were building on 3 out of the 4 boundary lines. So it was a large challenge, and we were specifically going by the book so that others could follow the system that we had put in place.
Okay. Before we go any further about the sort of applications of EcoBricks, I think let's maybe take a step back, and for the sake of those listening who are going, what on earth are you talking about? What is an EcoBrick? Perhaps we need to start at the very simplest building block, if you'll pardon the pun. It is, at its heart, an empty 2-litre cool drink bottle filled with plastic, but it's not just any plastic. Talk us through the concept.
So the idea is that it's using non-recyclable plastic, and that may vary according to where you are, according to what's being recycled in your area.
Yeah.
So the idea is that you compress a whole lot of plastic matter that otherwise would have been polluting the environment, and you turn it into a brick, which can be used as a thermal insulation material. But importantly, it's used in a different way to normal bricks. So they're not designed to carry load. They're there to displace wall membrane and to act as a thermal insulation material.
So what does that mean in practice when you're using them to build a structure?
What it means is that you need a framed construction system. So either concrete or steel or timber frame, and then EcoBricks are used as an infill product.
Okay. You mentioned thermodynamics. So they're very good at keeping heat inside for a cold day, keeping the heat outside on a hot day. Are they good for other kinds of proofing of a house? Waterproofing, for example, I'm sure everybody would worry about, what about water coming through the gaps between the bottles? But you're going to pad that, aren't you?
Yeah. So the whole thing is that the way the EcoBrick gets packaged into a wall is varies. So there's a range of which of ways you can build. But the idea is that to think with the circular thinking in mind, because a PET bottle, studies indicate that it'll take 450 years before that bottle will break down if protected from the sun.
Okay.
So our idea is to use the EcoBricks in such a way that when the building's demolished, the bricks can be reclaimed and reused again. But, you know, there's been such an overwhelming demand for EcoBrick projects around the country that we've been investigating different applications, not only doing buildings.
Okay.
And this is what's been quite exciting. At the end of last year, we showcased 7 different applications, DIY applications.
Yep.
And the favorite of those was the raised bed vegetable gardens. They're wheelchair accessible. It makes gardening, particularly veggie gardening, much easier. And so I created a step-by-step guide for people to do that. And of the 100 requests that I received from that guide, the first person to use that was Caroline Hanks here in the Southern Cape.
Yes.
And she created a beautiful garden in
Masipumalele.
Masipumalele.
Now, we've got some photographs of that garden, which I'm going to ask my producer to tweet. And I think Caroline is going to give us a call, in fact, to talk about how it's worked for them, because I know she's a big fan of the concept and of this use of diverting plastic. I mean, Ian, it's a management, not a cure for plastic waste. Mm. I mean, at the end of the day, we're still producing too much plastic, but this is at least making sure that what we have already produced isn't going to sit as litter in the environment or end up on a landfill. At least it's going into something meaningful.
Exactly. And the idea behind the EcoBrick is that it's supposed to be there to be a temporary use for all these single-use plastics.
Yeah.
And ultimately, we want to phase these plastics out of the industry. So we aren't saying that we want the EcoBricks to always be around. In fact, yeah, we want them to become extinct. So the idea with the EcoBrick is that the act of making it makes you more conscious of all the plastic that's in your life, and to help you to see which items you can omit.
Yeah.
And it's exciting to start seeing zero waste grocery stores opening up where you have to take your own packaging. And, you know, it's just important that we see it as a temporary system. Everyone has been asking us recently, where can we bring them?
Yes.
And that is a topical point. And the reason we've been adjusting our collection system is that we need to make sure that we have someone at each point to monitor the quality. Unfortunately, what's been happening is a lot of people have been making bad,
substandard ones.
Yeah, bad EcoBricks, unfinished EcoBricks, and delivering that. And that means that we now need to find people to finish those in order to be able to use them. And so that system is becoming expensive. So we now are training people at each collection site to be able to know how to assess a finished or an incomplete EcoBrick.
Yeah.
So that then we can start accepting them again. But, you know, on the average family of four, you shouldn't be producing more than one or two EcoBricks per month. So what we're asking people at the moment is, while we are revising the system, if they can just hold on to them for the moment, and then we will announce through our website, on the homepage of our website, once the collection points have started again.
Started up again, okay. I know in the meantime, a number of schools are running collection points. That's where ours go, I know. And I will say, I mean, your comment about the sort of incomplete or not quite finished EcoBrick is, I can understand, because when you first start making them, you think that bottle is full. And when you actually take a stick to it and start compacting what's inside it, you'd be very surprised at how much longer you've still got to go. Is that part of the problem, that people aren't filling them sufficiently to the weight that they need to be usable?
Yeah, and it's not even a weight consideration, because if you use polystyrene, which you can use, that makes them so much lighter. So we rather speak about a squishable component.
Yes.
The EcoBrick shouldn't be able to be squished within your one hand. So you can tell when it's done when it feels hard.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that's the system that we now use. And it's important that people stuff with their stuffing rod or stick throughout the process, not only at the end, because then it's hard to get the gaps at the bottom.
Okay, that's good advice. So keep on whacking it down in the meantime. Right, a couple of questions coming through from listeners on our SMS line, and then we'll go to a call as well, but quite important ones on the SMS. We've mentioned that they're very thermodynamic, but what about fire safety? Do they offer any kind of fireproofing functionality?
That's a great question, and the fire risk is an important one to manage. So there's a multitude of ways in which you can manage that. And the first is to make sure that it's not exposed. So not only must the EcoBrick not be exposed for a sun reason, but it needs to not be exposed in terms of fire. And then, depending on how you are building with EcoBricks, if you are using plastering or cement plastering, then that creates that barrier. Alternatively, you can also use a fireproof boarding on the outside if you're doing a frame construction.
Yeah.
So our Penguins Preschool, for example, is doing the frame construction with fireproof boarding on either side, and another fireproof product in between the bottles.
Okay, thank you. Then Krista asking, can you only use the 2-litre Coke type of bottle for EcoBricks, or could one use, for example, 5-litre water bottles? Very relevant question, given all the Capetonians who stockpiled water amid the day zero concern. Do you use those ones as well?
So, unfortunately, we don't use the 5-litre ones.
Okay.
We use anything now between 500 mils and 2.5 litres.
Okay.
The reason behind that is, ideally, we want the EcoBricks to be a similar shape according to the different systems that we use. In fact, the 2-liter one is still our favorite because our modular systems of building require the bottles to be uniform.
And a standard size, yeah, okay.
But then there are things we can do with the ones in between those size ranges. But above 2.5, so the 5-liter bottles, it's so difficult to compress them to be hard enough to build with. And they are quite bulky to build with.
So we can't
find a need of building them. It's not to say that no one builds with them. Some people do, but we just don't encourage them to be made. And then on a note on the plastic bottles, you know, PET bottles, are being recycled greatly in South Africa, and they are made back into bottles. So it's a circular system. And in fact, we always then encourage people to rather use brown or green bottles to make EcoBricks, because those are less in demand in the recycling industry.
That is a point that Sue actually made on an email. Sue's been making them for quite some time already. She says she's already handed over 63 completed bottles in the 2.5 years that she's been making them. Good on you, Sue. But her comment was exactly that. She normally goes to collect empty bottles from the Tramway Road recycling depot in Seapoint. And she had a bit of a difficulty the last time she went there because they told her she wasn't allowed inside to come and take bottles off the depot. She says, it seems to vary according to who's on duty. But her comment was, I have heard that the green and brown bottles are not recyclable, so I always make them my first choice. Are they not recyclable or just less in demand for recycling?
They are recyclable, but they're just less in demand.
Okay.
You know, oftentimes the clear plastics are not only used to make bottles, they're used to make clothing fiber, pillow material.
Mm.
And few people know that in 2017, 65% of post-consumer bottles were recycled.
Yeah. South Africa's stats are actually internationally, we stand up really well in the amount, particularly on bottles that we recycle.
On PET, so yeah.
On PET, yeah.
Number one, PET, but the other forms of plastic, less so.
Yeah, okay.
And PETCO's been doing very good work around lobbying for the voluntary recycling levy, which was put onto the price of PET.
Okay.
Which is why they created 65,000 work opportunities in 2017.
Which is fantastic, okay. Mm. We're chatting to Ian Domisa of the EcoBrick Exchange, and love to hear from more of you. There are great questions and comments coming through on the SMS line. Just remember, you're also very welcome to give us a call or drop a voice note to 072-567-1567. Penny in Constantia is on her 5th EcoBrick, and her comment is, it amazes me how much goes into a bottle. As you say, I think it's finished, and then there is still space for much more. She drops hers off at the Hillside Vet in Plumstead. Thanks for the tip on that one, Penny. Lots of people asking about what should go into them. Somebody asking on the SMS line, chip packets and cellophane, should they be there?
That's great material. So actually the easier way is to say what shouldn't go
into them. Yeah.
So what shouldn't go into them is any organic matter, any moisture, anything sharp, because that could puncture the EcoBrick from the inside.
Right.
And you want it to remain a sealed capsule. Everything else can go in. We don't encourage newspaper to go in because that's a recyclable
anyway,
product.
Yes.
Yeah. So the idea is to put in non-recyclable things. You know, photos aren't recyclable. A lot of people ask about, you know, till slips. So you just have to become curious and to see and to question the material you have and see if it is being recycled. And a lot of times recycling places are struggling because they're getting so much of the wrong material.
Yeah.
And then it costs the recycling service money because they have to then send that and they get charged for that material going
just
to landfill.
Just sort and send it somewhere else, yeah. Mm. It's really good. My experience has been, it's made me so much more conscious of the packaging I'm buying and reading, not just reading the labels of the ingredients that's in the food, but looking at, is this packaging recyclable? And, you know, from one loaf of bread to the next, the one will be recyclable and then the next one isn't, depending on which brand you've bought and which store you've shopped at, etc. So it is making you a lot more mindful of that and making you make the conscious choice to buy, if you are going to buy something that's in plastic, let it be at least a recyclable one, is the comment I would make. Ishmael, just also paying tribute, you mentioned Caroline Hanks in Neutuk, and of course we've had her on the show many times on her crusade against single-use plastics, and particularly her efforts to get runners to stop using the little plastic sachets. Ishmael just SMS'd to say, Caroline is really a beautiful soul. She is spearheading the Carry Our Own refillable water container at running race events, and I am a keen supporter, says Ishmael. I wish everybody would be as well. I absolutely agree. Now, on the line with us is somebody else who is passionate about EcoBricks. Candice, I believe you are with an organization that's one of the biggest collectors of them. Won't you start by telling us the name of that organization? Welcome.
Hi there, guys. Yes, hey. It's called WasteEd. Actually, Caroline asked me to call and told me that you guys will be on today because she's not in service today.
Okay.
I'm representing WasteEd, which is something that I started about 6 years ago when I was introduced to the EcoBrick by an American guy who actually introduced Ian to the EcoBrick as well at their Trash to Treasure Festival in Greaton, where they built an outdoor classroom using about 7,000 bottles collected from the local schools.
Fantastic.
Over 3 years during that time. And yeah, we started collecting EcoBricks for about a year and a half now. In Cape Town, Green Pop Nursery is one of our biggest partners, and they've got a Woodstock collection point. We've got one in Milmerton at Hangar 18. Settlers High collects us in Belleville. Faithful to Nature is also one of our big partners in Rosenberg, who collect. Salt and Cult Bay is absolutely amazing. They give a free coffee to people who bring in a clean-up EcoBrick. So if you cleaned up from the beach, they look for the sand, and they'll give you a free coffee if you've cleaned up the beach with an EcoBrick. And those bricks are actually going to another amazing project called Ocean Redundant, which means oceans revive. And that's actually a 12-year-old girl called Jade who started an amazing project also collecting EcoBricks, specifically beach cleanup EcoBricks. She's a passionate surfer, and she's going to be building a house for someone who needs a house. That's kind of her goal at 12 years old, which... We love supporting her, and the bricks of salt go to her. Hell's Connection in Fishhook, Long Beach Mall in Noordhoek, and MFM Radio in Stellenbosch are also one of our partners.
Okay, so lots of different options. If you're making them at home and don't know where to take them, you've given us a good spread across the whole peninsula there, Candice. I mean, are you seeing, is it catching on? Are you seeing an increase in the number of bottles coming in to those various points?
Most definitely. I mean, Ian will tell you as well. It's been quite overwhelming to see South Africa's response to it, especially with our communications with other EcoBrick projects around the world. I don't think any other country has taken it on like we have. It's been super impressive.
Anything else you'd like the listeners to know about EcoBricks, Candice?
No, I think Ian said it all. You know, it's a temporary solution. Remember to phase it out. You know, give yourself a goal. I'm going to stop EcoBricking within 1 year. Now that I've found alternatives to these materials, they're great shops that are popping up that are plastic-free, like Nude Foods, Shop Zero in Woodstock, the Wild and Waste-free in Glencairn, Tukai, Shop Zero. So you can see that our country is going that direction, which is really amazing. So start supporting package-free shops like that.
Thank you, Candice, for calling in from WasteEd. So we're going to tweet the list of those drop-off points that Candice mentioned, as well as some pictures of the raised garden that Caroline built in Masipumalele with the use of EcoBricks. I mean, Ian, Candice commented on the shift, and we've said a few times over the past month or so, it does suddenly feel like we've hit, I don't know if we can call it a tipping point yet, but there is just suddenly such an increased awareness of plastic pollution that wasn't there before, just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it really has been amazing, and I think it is due to the work of people like Candice, like Caroline, Haley,
at the aquarium,
people have been doing such good work around advocacy for awareness, raising awareness. And now people are taking it upon themselves to do initiatives, and it's amazing to hear stories as we do. I'm not just wanting to make the systems available so that people can do things themselves.
Yeah.
And it's great to see that there's people with sort of specialized interest. For example, Candice is really good at doing natural plastering with EcoBricks, which is a great recyclable circular design system.
Okay.
So WasteEd does that as well, I should mention.
I mean, you've built an entire preschool in Port Elizabeth out of EcoBricks.
Correction.
We
got it approved.
And
we're
not built yet.
Yeah, we're in the phase of helping the preschool teacher to raise the funds
to actually finish the project. Okay.
And there's a new project manager who's stepped on board in that project called Kevin Kimwell. He's a Kenyan architect, and he's built a school before in Port Elizabeth using wine bottles out in the Joslovo
region. I've seen photographs of that,
It's a beautiful school.
Yeah.
And so he's the project manager taking over, and he's doing great things in the project, and he's actually reviewed the design. And the ground floor, we're going to be using 4 6-meter shipping containers.
Yeah.
So that then the part of the school is going to be made out of that on the bottom to just showcase another form of green construction.
Of alternative construction, yeah.
And it's actually something he asked me to put a call out today, because we are looking for those shipping, so reuse or
second-hand shipping containers. Second-hand, okay.
So if any people know of any people we should contact, or it would be great to get those contacts because it will really help the momentum of the project.
Yeah.
We have raised some funds, and Kevin, in fact, has got 100,000 rands worth of building materials from a building that was demolished. So it's nice to reuse the materials in that way. But, you know, Blomi Nonchinga, the preschool teacher, she's been waiting for 5 years.
Gosh, we did.
So it's been a long project, and so we really, our focus is still supporting that project and making sure it happens while we continue doing the other programs around the country. But our focus is pointing back to Port Elizabeth.
Okay, so if there's somebody listening who's going, that's me, I've got a second-hand shipping container and I want you to have it, how do they make contact with you?
The best would be through our website. On our website contact page is the email information. That would be the best way. People have been contacting a lot through social media recently, and I must apologize that we've been delayed in getting back to them. We've recently been on what we called our winter tour, which involved 14 events across 10 cities, which was really exciting to witness the demand across those cities and to do trainings at those different events. And so we're still kind of catching up with our communications.
Okay. Can we squeeze in one quick voice note before we go to news?
Hello, Pippa. What about the dog food bags that your 8 and 10 kilo dog food comes in that you buy? It's sort of almost got a brown paperishy reinforced inside with a colored outside. Are those recyclable or not? Thank you. Bye.
I'm so glad you raised that, because actually one of the projects that's going on in Masipumelele is using those bags. They're recycling them, well, upcycling them into sort of sewn bags, etc. But the offcuts are going into EcoBricks, aren't they, Ian?
That's correct. The thing with dog bags, which makes them non-recyclable, is that they're mixed. There's a variety of materials in them. That's what makes them non-recyclable. So the project's
name... It's called ReLife, I think.
Yeah, ReLife. And
yes.
They're making beautiful handbags, shopping bags, wallets out of a range of different dog bags. And I know that the one brand, Akana, has actually started putting collection boxes in vets.
Great idea.
Where you can then take... Because, I mean, to cut up a whole dog bag to put into an EcoBrick.
It's going to take quite a long
time.
Okay.
And it's great that it's being upcycled into a beautiful fashion
accessory.
Yes, I mean, they've got beautiful linings. They've got shweshwe details. They're a high grade product.
Okay, so that's the ReLife project. It's Re-Life. If you want to Google them for more info. In the meantime, please check out Ian's website. EcoBrickExchange.org is what you need to tap in. Ian Dobbiser, thank you so much for joining us today. And I hope you get those containers and get that project in PE up and running ASAP. And please keep in touch with us about your progress.
Thanks so much, Pippa. And we'll be doing our drop-off point updates on our website as well.